Blog Talk Radio.
We discuss God's answers to life's problems to reconnect our heart back the way He originally made us. I'm your host, Brother Prater. I'm so glad you are able to join us. If you have any questions, comments, or you want to just listen to the show, feel free to call us at 516-453-9118. That's 516-453-9118. You can listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/reconnect my heart. Or you can go into our chat room, which is open now. Open it up right now. Bam, it's on. Our chat room, which is on our website, you can ask questions, comments, or if you want to leave a prayer request. I would like to say a huge hello to my church family, True Believers Tabernacle Church, where our pastor is Pastor Marcus Logan. If you're ever in the Dallas area, you're welcome to visit us. We have 4204 Cardinal Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75216. Feel free to come and worship with us. Once again, thank each and every one who are listening to this show, and thank you for your continued prayers and support. I'm glad to be here this Sunday night. Late Sunday afternoon, excuse me, Sunday evening. Question. Did you know that mental abuse can leave a lasting scar on a person's mind? It can plant a seed to make you receive abuse from others or also yourself. It can control your self-esteem, how you feel about yourself, and affect relationships you have with others. Today, we're going to talk about detoxing your mind of manipulation, mental bullies, and gaining your identity back and winning the war in your mind on the episode called Freedom from Mind Games and Mental Control. First, I want to say this disclaimer. I am not a medical physician. And I would encourage, if there's anyone that feels that they want to speak to a counselor, you are welcome to. There are great Christian counselors that can provide assistance that are licensed. So I want to encourage for those who may be of faith but feel like, well, you know, we as Christians or we as believers, we shouldn't go see a counselor or a psychiatrist. No, you could and you should. So I do want to say that disclaimer because a lot of times some people, even as a minister, sometimes as a minister, we do overstep our boundaries and we say things that actually would be against the law if we try to diagnose people. There are some that may be licensed, but I would encourage even ministers, please be careful. If you're not a licensed physician or a licensed counselor, psychiatrist, I would advise you, please be mindful of what you tell people. So I want to say the disclaimer pertaining to myself. I'm not a licensed physician, so I would encourage for those who may need some assistance, you're welcome. And if you want some assistance, try to find a Christian counselor. I would try to find a Christian counselor or Christian psychiatrist. I can help any way I can. Matter of fact, my number, you're all welcome to call me offline. My number is 214-908-3056. You can text me, you can call me in whatever area that you're in. I would try to help you to find one. So, like I said, I do want to say that disclaimer. But what we're going to do, we're going to talk about mind games. We're going to talk about even stepping into mental abuse, emotional abuse. You know, unfortunately, there are many people that deal with it and they suffer in silence. There are many people that are dealing with that, and a lot of times they deal with it, and you never know who's dealing with situations that are like that. Most of the time, they're embarrassed. They're shut off. Sometimes, they may not be in that relationship, but the effects of it, unless God bring healing, they stay stuck. They never progress from that event or that abuse. So what we want to do, we want to allow this episode to be a lifeline. And also for those who may be listening, you're welcome. I'm going to open up the line later on in the episode for those who have questions or even if you've experienced anything like that. You're welcome to share your testimony or even if you're dealing with it right now. I want you to know that there is help that is available. You don't have to feel stuck any longer. If you are in that situation, we want to be able to provide help for you. But also, in case you're no longer in that situation, but you're still feeling the effects of that abuse, we want to provide help also. So the first thing, what we want to do, we want to talk about what is abuse. First of all, you have to realize it can happen to anybody and at any time. Children, teens, even grown adults may experience any type of mental or physical abuse. And that abuse will have a devastating consequences on relationships and also for those who are involved. Now let's look at a definition. One definition, any act including confinement, isolation, verbal assault, humiliation, intimidation, or any other treatment which may try to demise or diminish a person's identity, their dignity, their worth or self-esteem. Unfortunately, we see it. I'm going to talk about two areas, and I'm going to speak on the third later, but it's two areas that you may see this type of abuse. And when I say emotional, that also we're going to tie in to mental abuse. One obvious one would be in a relationship. It can be a dating relationship, a marriage, but also it could be even in your upbringing. A lot of times we categorize that as, well, they're just the normal. They're just normal. But in fact, it's not normal. It's very abnormal. But we have allowed that to be okay, even within our family. Some of the signs and some of the symptoms of emotional abuse: yelling or swearing at a person, name calling, insults, mocking them, threatening them, intimidating them, also ignoring them or excluding them. If you want to say, even trying to show favoritism, even within the family, isolating the others, also humiliating and denial of the abuse and blaming the victim. I do want to say this, when I was speaking about the different signs and symptoms, it made me think of, there was a girl and she had a sister, and the parents liked her sister more than her. Now, I can't recall if they were twins or not, but this would happen. The parent liked one, and whichever one that they liked, if I'm not mistaken, she would sometimes be sick. And so what they would do, the child they did not like, they would actually sacrifice her and take her blood and give it to the one that they like, or whatever part they would use the one that they did not like and used her for parts and give it to the child that they liked. That's, when I heard that story, it really broke my heart. I'm gonna see if I can look it up before the show ends and I can put the link on the episode. But these kind of things happen. And a lot of times, like I said, a lot of times you'd be surprised what's happening in someone else's home. People's upbringing may be different than yours. Or if you look at it, you may have grown up in a healthy, functioning relationship with your family. You might have had a healthy upbringing. And who knows? That's good. But just because you had that, don't assume that everyone else have had that. So when you look at other people's lives, look at how they respond. Look at how people interact. A lot of times when we see people, a lot of times we don't see their problem. We see the result of their problem. Let me explain. If a child is acting up, does that mean that that child is bad? No. What if that person or that child is responding the only way that they know to let you know that there's something wrong in their life? See, young people, and it could be older people too, but a lot of times they may not say it. They may not be able to identify the actual problem, or sometimes they may be in fear. They may be in fear of their life, of their safety, or when it comes down to dysfunctional family, sometimes they may even be afraid to even get their family or their parents in trouble because of love they children, because of love that their parent. As a child, children love their parent. But if they are being abused emotionally, mentally, start watching people. And even as young kids, watch how they interact or respond to others. What happens if they become isolated from others? That's a clear sign that, you know, there's something that may be wrong, or there may be something that you may need to kind of investigate. So when it boils down to it, we're going to look at some of the examples of, let's say, emotional abuse, like I was stating earlier. Threats of violence, abandonment, intentional fighting. And this is not just in a upbringing, but this could even be in a relationship. Making an individual be in fear that they will not receive food or care, lying to them. Failing to check on them, abuse against them. Isolating them. Those are some of the things. I'm gonna say one more. Being over familiar and disrespectful. People deserve respect. And not just the adults deserve respect, but also what, children too. So some of the signs that we need to look at. When we see people in families, watch. Because a lot of times when a child is being abused, pretty much a parent is being abused also. I'll say it like this. He's no longer with us, but those that know my grandmother, which is my maternal grandmother, my mother's mother, both my grandparents have gone on They're no longer with us. But my grandmother, she told me before she passed away that she was in an abusive relationship, which was my grandfather. My grandfather was very abusive, very abusive. He would not only be abusive to my grandmother, but also even to the children. He was the type that made sure things went his way. And instead of talking or having some type of relationship with his children, which my mother and her siblings, if he wanted to teach them how to do something, he whooped them until they did it or got it right. That's the kind of mentality that he had. And unfortunately, he did that on up to a couple of days, if not the day before he was killed. But my grandmother told me that she stood there. She stood in that relationship. And my heart went out because, first of all, that's not a healthy relationship that you will want, not just you don't want to be in, but you wouldn't want your children to be in. And also, I do want to say this, for those who are in that type of situation, I would advise you to get help immediately. I'm going to be providing some information also for those who are needing information to get help. If you are in an abusive relationship, please get help immediately. Do not think that it's going to be better. Don't put yourself or your children in harm's way anymore. And don't make excuses for that person either. Don't say, well, you know, he does it when he's drunk or whatever. No, first of all, you're not a punching bag. God did not make you to be a punching bag or a kick bag. But also, I do want to say this. It is not your fault. No longer blame yourself or don't allow someone else to put the blame on you. You are not at fault. So please, if someone is listening to this show who has been holding on guilt because of a situation that they are in or they were in, please, right now, we're not going to wait till the end of the program, but right now, please forgive yourself. Do not blame yourself anymore. It is not your fault. And for those who need assistance, please call me, inbox me, whatever way you can. Matter of fact, I'm pulling up the number as we speak. Okay, thank you, Lord. Okay, this is the Domestic Violence Resource Center. The toll-free number is 1-866-469-8644. That is the Domestic Violence Resource Center. 1-866-469-8644. Okay. Now, there's so much, and I'm going to try to condense it into, this is an hour show, might extend a little bit more, but I want to say as much as I can in the little time. But I do want you to know this. If you are in a relationship or if you are in a home where you are being abused or you feel unsafe or you witnessing someone who is being abused, even though we're speaking about mental abuse, emotional abuse, but a lot of time it does involve physical abuse. abuse is abuse, whichever way you cut it. Realize that it's not right, it's not healthy, and we would advise you to please seek help now. Or if you feel like you can't find anyone, like I said, you're welcome to inbox me, text me, whatever. And this is my personal number, 214-908-3056. We're going to be praying for you, but along with praying for you, we're going to get you some help. We don't want to just sit back and just watch abuse happen. We are not reactive believers. We are proactive. Now, going back, I do want to say this. Now, along with the abuse, a lot of times those people who are abusing others, they want control. They want power. They want to dominate. They want to dominate someone or someone's. Like I said, it might be a parent, it might be a husband, a boyfriend, or even a wife or a girlfriend. It used to be the abuse would be just from the man, but now there are women that are abusing also. So I do want to say it's on both sides. It's from men and from women. So in a relationship, a lot of times there are red flags that are shown at its early stage, but we ignore them. A lot of times it may seem like, oh, he just caring about me. He just want to make sure everything's okay. But in fact, he's actually showing you that he's a controlling person. He might have met you 2 weeks ago, and then he's trying to, quote unquote, portray as if y'all already married. Well, you know, who did that call you? First of all, that's none of your business. I'm going to tell you like this. At the first sign, leave. Don't make excuses, because a lot of times people can't hide who they really are for a long time. A controlling person wants control, wants power over you. And we have to look at, just because you're not like that, you can't assume that not everybody is like that. So when it comes down to seeing the behavior of people, watch them carefully. Watch them. See, along with the control, the power, what they want to do, along with the control and power, one of the things that they would try to do is force themselves upon you. It could be physically. Now, it ain't always sexual. When I say forcing themselves upon you, it could be just, you know, trying to test you. Like, it could be a little play fight or wrestling. Just testing to see how strong you are. They checking you out to see how far they can push the boundaries. Are you really physically strong enough to take on them? Or what are you going to do? Are you the type that would be passive and don't fight back? They may be checking you out to see how far they can go. They, like I said, they may be pushing the envelope. They may be checking the boundaries. They may check and see, okay, if this person passive or if they're aggressive or they're a fighter. And this is the thing, I will tell you this. There is a difference between a bully and a fighter. See, a bully would take on people they think or they know that they can take on. An easy win, I'll say. But a fighter don't care who it is. They would fight even if they know they're going to lose. They're fighting away. But I'm going to tell you this. Most people who abuse others, they're actually bullies. Because if you look at it, they'll take on people that they think that they can handle. And I'm going to tell you this, most guys that abuse women, they scared of real men. See, it can happen physically. The mental abuse or the emotional abuse, they can yell at you. They can fuss at you. They can play mind games. They can try to manipulate you. They can try to put you down. See, that's physically. And then eventually, it could lead to physical. See, but they'll do that to the opposite sex. But they won't do that to the same sex. They won't do that to a guy that's the same size as they are or bigger. They won't even do it to a guy that might be smaller that they know they'll fight back. They're cowards. Just put it out there. They are cowards. Anybody that abuses people, they are cowards. And that's for male or female. But we can't make excuses for them. And I'm going to tell you this. A lot of times I've heard people say, well, you know, they just need help. You know, God put me in their life to help them. The answer is no. If someone is abusive, let them deal with the same sex. If you're a female that has dealt with an abusive male, then if you really want to help them, you pray for them from afar and you refer them to a male that can help. And you stay clear out the picture. Because what can happen, as long as you stay in the picture, they're not trying to get help. They think, okay, well, they can just put on a front until you come back. But no, you stay clear out the picture. I don't care if you got to put a block on your phone, and especially if you're on social media, you can delete them. You can delete them from your Facebook or Twitter or Instagram account or whatever. And also, hopefully, you do the same. You block their information, even if they don't block yours. So, with the abuse that happens, realize they want power, they want control, they wanna manipulate you. See, a lot of times they'll put fear in you, so that way they can control you. But also, I'm gonna say this: not only in controlling you, but they wanna take your will and break your spirit. Now see, just like a horse or any type of animal that you are training to use the restroom, and what's called when you're trying to teach a dog to use the restroom outside and not inside, you have to break their will. You have to break their will. And once you break their will and you help them to understand to use the restroom outside or let you know that they need to go outside. What happened if they use the restroom on the inside? Then they get spanked. Some dog owners have put the nose in the feces, the dog feces, the dog nose in the dog feces and try to train them and spank them with that. And then take it from there and let them go outside and show them the proper way. Well, know that people that abuse others are doing the same thing, but just a different technique. They're trying to control. They're trying to break your spirit to control your will. They're trying to break your spirit to control your will. Now, see, with the mind games, what they'll do, along with taking the control and manipulating you, even sheltering you away from your family, your friends, those that love you and those that you love, they isolate you. I'm going to say this. Anytime you are in a relationship, and you change who you are, either they make you change or you voluntarily change, that's an unhealthy relationship. Just simply put, when you used to communicate with your family, and then all of a sudden you meet this specific person, and then next thing you know, you shelter yourself from those that you love, and then your behavior change. They try to keep you away from your family, your friends, but they try to introduce you to theirs. Or they isolate you from yours, and you don't go out anywhere anymore. You don't go shopping. Or they don't want you to do anything by yourself anymore. Every time you go somewhere, you have to carry them. That's unhealthy. I'm going to tell you this. As a man, if there's any guy that have you to do that, if you're in a relationship that way, please understand that it's unhealthy and realize this. He's not doing the same thing. He's making you be isolated from your family, your friends, but he's still speaking to his. Think about it. That's control. If he is not paying on your bill, but still want to ask you who calling you or what you and your mama talk about, what you and your siblings talk about, nobody have that right to make you disclose information, even if it's not personal. Those are clear signs. See, you have to watch people and you have to really study people in this day and time, because they may be having an agenda to control you. Now, one of the other controls I want to speak about, excuse me, one of the other abuse I want to speak about, along with the control, the manipulation that happens in the upbringing, in a relationship, but it also happens within the church. Spiritual abuse. Just put it out there. Just because a church says Church of God in Christ, or reread the Holy Bible, just because they may be even of a specific denomination, you still have to investigate their church on an individual basis. Why is that? Because there are some leaders that try to manipulate and control their members. Don't believe me? I'm going to tell you this. There has been some that I've heard, and I've gone to church all my life. Not just me, but I can give proof. And it's not anywhere in the scripture that this being said. But there's been leaders that have told their congregations, well, if you leave this ministry, you're going to be cursed. That ministry is cursed. I've heard some have even said, if you leave this church, if you leave this church, if you leave this ministry, God is going to get you. Okay, what happened if you have to have a job out of the city and you have to relocate? What happened? There are some that have tried to manipulate and control every aspect of their members. Now, it's one thing being a caring leader. That's one thing. But your responsibility is to teach them the word of God and point them to Christ, not yourself. See, God has us responsible as ministers. We're responsible to lead people to Christ. But also what we have to do, we have to know God's word for ourselves. So that way we won't be deceived. Now, along with knowing God's word, if there's anything that's being said, even if it's behind a pulpit or even if it's from someone that's supposed to be a man or a woman of God, just because they said does not mean that it's biblical. What is our responsibility when we hear information? We need to write down what they say and study, look it up in God's word. Now, what happens a lot of times, because they, quote unquote, try to isolate. Now, this happens, like I said, not just in the church, but in a relationship or in a family. I'm going to tell you this. If it seems fishy, if it seems something's not right, that could be a red flag for you to investigate. What do I mean? Even what I was saying, where the minister or the pastor said to some of his congregation, if you leave my ministry or if you leave this ministry, you're going to be cursed with a curse. If you leave this church, you're going to be cursed with a curse, and they ain't nowhere in the Bible. See, that person try to use fear to make them have control over you. That's not only manipulation, but that is witchcraft. That is witchcraft. And let me say this. God did not give us the spirit of fear nor timidness, but he gave us power of love and of sound mind, which means self-discipline. And God made us free moral agents. See, the Holy Spirit not going to go against our will. God himself not going to go against our will. But why would someone try to go against our will? Regardless they behind the pulpit or not, that's witchcraft. So we have to understand that's unhealthy, and it does happen. But that's why we have the biblical responsibility as ministers, not only to teach the word, but also as a Christian to study God's word for ourselves. See, a lot of times they'll say, but see, thus says the Lord. See, they'll say that disclaimer to make you try to accept what they say, which in fact, if God give a prophecy, he's not going to tell them first to tell you. No, God's going to tell you first. And what happened, God would bring confirmation through somebody. It might be somebody that you know or that you don't know. But whenever God tell you something, there will be peace. Anytime somebody give you something and you feel uneasy or they make you question, you don't feel sure about something, you need to examine it, because it may not be from God. It may be from their emotions. See, because a person may have a quote-unquote spiritual authority or position, they may speak under their emotions. And what happens, they'll say partial truth, but speak in their emotions, they'll say partial truth, but their motive of saying it is not right. So we have to watch out for deception. Even, we spoke about it at church, even Eve was deceived. And I'm going to say it like this. Not only Eve being deceived when she knew not to eat of the fruit, but Satan said, don't touch or eat. But I'm going to say it like this. That was in the Old Testament. That was in Genesis. Let's go over to the New Testament. When Satan tempted Jesus, what did he do? He tempted him in three areas. But what did Jesus do? He didn't try to have a conversation with Satan. He always started with what? Jesus started with what? It is written. It is written. And where we fail at as believers, we fall for deception because we don't know what is written. What is written in God's word. So we have to understand what is written in God's word pertaining to what is said when people try to bring manipulation and games, mental games, abuse towards us or on us. I better make this real fast. I didn't know time was moving that fast. A couple of things I want to say. See, when people try to manipulate, they would lie on you. They will lie to try to blackmail you. They will try to make other people what get on their team. They would try to discredit your character, discredit your name. Now, that's them telling a lie to people. There was someone that I know, matter of fact, I'm not going to call his name, but there's someone that I know that was dating two girls at the same time. And what he would do, he would try to be so smooth. He would try to pin one against the other. They were friends. But what he was doing, he was telling a lie to this one when he was with this one and saying how crazy the other girl was. And then next thing you know, when he would leave the other one alone, he would go to the one he told the other one that was crazy. He would say the same thing, but about one another. He was manipulating them. Eventually, they found out who he really was. Unfortunately, one of them has a baby by him. But he was just a total disrespectful kid. But along with that, how people would try to lie, try to discredit your character, discredit your name, that's someone that would tell a lie. But let me tell you this. What happened if they don't tell a lie? What happened if they spread rumors and it's the truth? What happened if they tell some stories about you and it's true? Do you beat yourself up? No. What you do, you own up. If it was a mistake, you own up to it. But also, this is the thing. Realize this. Realize, why did they say that? You look at the motive of why they said that. Don't allow that to defeat you because someone bring up your past. But realize their motive for why they're doing that. They have to use your past to try to hurt you. Why is that? Because they tried to fight dirty, but also that's the last resort that they had. They couldn't defeat you with a lie, so they had to try to find something in your past that was true. So you have to realize who you're dealing with. So along with realizing who you're dealing with, don't allow that to stop you from loving yourself or forgiving yourself. Now, realize in overcoming the mind games and the manipulation, first and foremost, for those who have hurt you, you have to forgive them. Forgive them. See, when you forgive them, it actually breaks that control that they have over you. Because what they want to do, they want you to have them on their mind. Not only when they far from you, but even some people are dead and gone, and people still have them controlling their life. So even though it might have happened years ago, regardless if they're alive or dead, forgive them. When you forgive them, it breaks that stronghold mentally and emotionally. See, forgiveness is not for them. Mainly forgiveness is for you. Forgiving them breaks their ties, and also it lets you know you are no longer their slave. You're no longer imprisoned by them. Also, in forgiving them, forgive yourself. A lot of times people beat themselves up over people that they have allowed in their lives. You know, the people, it could be a boyfriend, a baby father, who you may have had regrets even allowing them in your life. Forgive yourself. Realize what the devil wants to do. He wants to, like I said, keep you a prisoner. And how does he try to make you a prisoner? By allowing hurt, fear, unforgiveness. which is a web to imprison you, to make that be carved in your mind. Listen, you are not defined by that. After you've forgiven them and you forgive yourself, what do? You look at what God says who you are. In other words, look at God's truth. Listen, I said God's truth. God's word is truth. Is God's word true? I didn't say true, because anything could be true. Excuse me, anything could be true. T-R-U-E. Anything could be true. But we not looking at what is true. We looking for truth. There's one absolute, and it's from God's word. So you look at and you examine who God says that you are. Look at yourself, because not only you are made in God's image, you made in God's likeness, you are the apple of God's eye. And if you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when God Almighty sees you, He sees His Son's blood on you. You are an heir of Jesus Christ. Excuse me, you are an heir of God, a joint heir of Jesus Christ. So realize who you are. Know that you are important. You're very important to God and also to others. So along with forgiving them, forgiving yourself, realize no longer allowing them to control you, to disrespect you, but also along with that, what do you need to do? You have to allow yourself time to heal. You have to give yourself time to heal, recovering from an abusive relationship. Like I said, that relationship could be an upbringing, a dating relationship, a marriage relationship, or even a spiritual relationship. A lot of times recovery does not happen instantly. After you ended a relationship, you need time to put your life back together. So allowing time for you to not just heal, but even to grieve. Because sometimes it may have been a good relationship, you thought, but realizing the truth, and you may have to sever a close relationship with someone, but you realize that it's unhealthy. You realize that it's toxic. So allowing yourself to heal, allowing yourself to grieve. Seek support from trusting people, trusting relationships, or trusting relatives, or even a licensed Christian counselor. Realize that your self-esteem and your confidence level may have been damaged, may have been severed by that abuse, by that abusive relationship. But you have to allow yourself to get help. You have to acknowledge that you need help. And don't try to do it on your own. Don't try to do it by yourself. There are people that God will send to help you. But realize, it's not uncommon to experience symptoms of depression or anxiety. So reaching out for help, it may be difficult, but you'll gain relief. You'll gain support, validation by talking to people that can help you, that love you. And also realize this, you're not alone. You can also start working on rebuilding your self-esteem with proper counseling. Number one, through prayer, going out, seeing a professional counselor or a therapist, and also acknowledge the issue. Develop an outlet, expressing yourself, express your feelings. You can get a journal, you can write it down, you can put it even through music, a painting, poetry, whatever you do, you can be able to express yourself healthy in a healthy way. And also, a couple more things before I get ready to go on, go online, or go to the air. You can start your regular schedule. See, a lot of times, because the end of a relationship or being healed from an abusive mental or emotional relationship, sometimes we have changed our schedule, changed our life. So now getting to know who you are now, after the hurt, after the pain, start back functioning. After you've allowed yourself time to heal. And also think about this. Think about joining a support group for survivors, people who have been in the same situation that you have. You know, before I forget, I do want to recommend this book. This book has very, very, very much blessed my heart. There's a book called Total Forgiveness. Total Forgiveness is by R.T. Kendall. I recommend that book highly. That book has really made me think when I went through my situation. It has really blessed me, and it helped me to know how to forgive. Not just forgiving those who have hurt me, but also even forgive myself. So if you're going to get ready to go to the line, there's someone with the last four. Their number is 0095. I'm going to get ready to get you on the line. If you want to say something, leave your comments or even a suggestion. Let me get you on there. Okay. Hello, welcome to Reconnect My Heart Radio program. You're on the air.
And whatever day to tell you.
Hello? Hello? Okay. They're just listening. Hello, welcome to Reconnect My Heart Radio program. You're on the air. Okay. Okay. Okay, I'm just sorry they were listening. But like I said, I do want you all to understand that abuse can happen, and it can happen to anybody. And I don't want anyone to feel that they are less than a person because it happened to them. And like I said, regardless if it's upbringing, in a relationship, or even a spiritual abuse. My thing is, and I do want to say this, even in the spiritual abuse, that does not define, because it happened in a church, that does not define who all Christians are. And it does not define who God is. Sometimes hurt people hurt other people. And when you look at people, even behind a pulpit, who may try to control. Now, I'm not saying everybody that's a leader does this. No. But I do want to say this. If you want to check, regardless if it's in a relationship or a spiritual relationship, a dating relationship, marriage, or a spiritual relationship, I do want to say this. I want you to check out things. If people try to isolate you, you have to examine. Just don't take people's word. You have to check it out for yourself. Because when it boils down to it, when people try to keep things on a hush-hush, but don't tell nobody. Nope. That let you know that's a clear indicator that there's something wrong. That is abuse. That's abuse. Also, when we look at it, because I'm in law enforcement and I've been working in law enforcement for many years. When we look at it, a lot of times when someone has sexually abused someone, especially, I'll just say it like this. When someone has sexually abused, a teenager or someone like that, what they'll do, they'll try to give them some hush money, either money, gifts, something. Whenever someone has done something wrong, they know they're wrong and the other person knows that they're wrong. But what they'll do, they'll try to have somebody to just hush them up, or they try to get into their head to say, well, it's normal. Or they may even try to threaten them. So it happens not just outside of the church, but within the church. So I tell people, if something sounds, if something sounds like it's a question, just don't let it just sit there. You examine it. Ask other people. You'd be surprised. It's a lot of people that they feel like, well, you know, that's the norm. No, it's not the norm. You think about this. What would Jesus do? Because a lot of times, like I said, a lot of times, matter of fact, I'm going to say it like this. I say this illustration. Growing up, there was a church that we used to visit. And my uncle actually, like I said, we were the visiting church. My uncle actually went there as a guest speaker. And so what he did, he told everybody, hey, I want everybody to get your Bibles, and we're going to turn to, and the pastor said, no, nobody here has a Bible. Nobody was allowed to have a Bible. Whatever I say is truth. That's what he said. Needless to say, we no longer dealt with that church. We pray for them, but we realize not only when it boiled down to it, we found out not only he wasn't allowing the members to not have a Bible, but come to find out he was trying to do some inappropriate things himself. So when it boiled down to it, listen, God wants you to learn of him. The Bible tells us, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So if anybody, even within a church, try to make you feel like, well, no, you just listen to what I say. If they tell you you can't read or study God's word, you need to check that out. Like I said, not every church is the same, but that church you may not need to be a part of. You may need to talk to a counselor about that, because there are wolves in sheep's clothing. See, a person don't have to cover up truth. Truth will always prevail. Truth will always shine. God wants you to, hey, test his word. God wants you to, hey, check his word out. But when people try to hush things, nope, something wrong with that picture. So I want you to know this. There are people that may try to manipulate you, but you can overcome that. Know that God does not want us to be ignorant of anything. Realize whatever you might have dealt with, God can heal you from that. And not only the things that might have happened recently, it could have happened years ago. But if you still feel attached to it, if you still feel some type of hurt, some type of feeling of unease, if you don't have peace about it, give it to God. See, anything that does not come from God, you will not have peace. It will not sit well in your spirit. But whenever God gives you assurance, whenever God's word comes, whenever the peace of God comes, whenever God, anything pertaining to God, whenever it comes, there's a peace that comes with it. So if it ain't of peace, it ain't of God. So even with that, regardless if you have dealt with that years ago, or even if you're the one that were the abuser, I want you to know that there is forgiveness for you. Regardless of what type of abuse that it is, I would advise you also to get some help. And this is the thing, God is available to help not only those who have been abused, but even the abuser also. God wants to help you and deliver you and set you free from that trap. That is a bondage of the devil. That is a witchcraft. That is something that God did not ordain for you. God did not have you to have a fighting spirit, regardless if it's physical or verbal. God did not instill that in you. God wants you to be free from that. God wants you to be healed and whole from that. And realize that that can happen to you and for you. But you have to first admit that you have a problem. You have to admit that you have an issue with control or abuse. You have to admit that and realize once you admit that, if you would accept help and realize God can help you and realize God can help you to have the future that he intended for you to have. But no matter what type of situation that you're in, regardless if it was the victim, the abuser, or even other issues in your life, know that there's nothing too hard for God. God said for us to cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. And realize God wants to heal us and forgive us, and he has a better future for us. God wants us to acknowledge our mistakes. Not only in acknowledging our mistakes, but even acknowledge him, not just in the beginning of a situation, but even in the midst of a bad choice. God can help us not only in our bad choice, but even with our consequences. God can help us, but we have to allow him to come into our lives and help us in every aspect of our lives and know that we can break the devil's back and counsel his plans if we accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross and realize he died for you. He died for your past for you to have a better present and a better future. And also, not only he died for your past, but he died for your present. If you're in a current situation that you know that's unlike God, God can help you and heal you. And also for those who may be having other situations in their lives, regardless if it's health issues, children problems, conflict, finances, whatever, conflict with others, we can give that to God. Like I said, God said, cast all our cares upon him, for he cares for us. But also, Romans 10 and 9 tells us, if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto what? Salvation. So regardless of what it is, you can give it to God and accept what he did on the cross. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, God. Thank you, Lord, for your awesomeness. We come to you right now, God. God, we ask you, Lord, to forgive us if there's anything that we said or done or thought or felt that was unlike you, God. God, we ask you, Lord, for your forgiveness, and we receive your forgiveness, and we thank you for your forgiveness. God, we come to you right now, God. You know, every issue that we're dealing with, every issue that we might have dealt with, God. God, we ask you, Lord, to help us, God. Forgive us, God, and help us and heal us, God. And help us, God, to give everything to you, God. Every hurt, every pain, even the abuse that we might even cause others, God. God, we ask you, Lord, to help us, God, to surrender everything to you, God. If there's anything in our lives that's unlike you, God, we give you permission to get it out right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, if there's anyone that may not have been at peace, God, like someone, all they know is to fight. God, all they do is curse them. All they do is belittle people, God. God, help them, God. Deliver them from their hurt, God. God, we know hurt people hurt others, God. And God, maybe there might have been something, God, that they may not have dealt with, God, in their upbringing, God. God, we speak, God, that you help them, God, to surrender everything to you right now, God. In the name of Jesus, God, free them, God, from the abundance, God. Give them that desire, God, to give everything to you right now. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we're speaking, God, for those who have dealt with hurt, pain, like mistrust. They don't trust anybody. They've hurt. They don't even want to embrace. They don't know how to receive a healthy relationship, a healthy friendship, God. We speak, God, that you help them, that you heal them, God. Let them know, God, even though it happened, God, they can still recover, God. They can have the life that you intended for them to have in spite of what happened, God. God, help them to understand, God, that you can use this as a testimony to help them, God. What the devil meant for evil, God, you can turn it for their good, God. And God, not only they can have a good outcome, God, but they can break out from everything that the devil tried to put forth right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we speak, God, for those who may be sick, God, mentally, physically, emotionally, God, touch and heal their body right now. In the name of Jesus, and stand about everything you stand for, bind every problem, bind every confusion right now. In the name of Jesus, we bind every stronghold right now. In the name of Jesus, we send you back to the pits of hell. We cancel your plans right now. In the name of Jesus, you will not take our identity. You will not take our character. We bind everything that you have tried to do, even discredit our name, discredit our character. God said, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. That's in his word, and we receive it for our lives right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for being our advocate right now, God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for coming in on our defense and for our defense right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we even speaking, God, even those that have discredited our name, our character, God, we thank you, Lord, for taking the sting out of the pain right now. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we forgive those who misfaithfully use us, God. And God, we're not just asking for forgiveness, but God, we speak in forgiveness, God. God, they know not what they've done right now, God. And God, we even interceding for those who have hurt us, God. We praying for them, God. God, help them to see the light, God. Help them to see you and to seek you like never before. God, we praying for our enemies right now. In the name of Jesus, we bind every hurt, every pain. They will not define our character. They will not define our purpose. They will not define our identity. God, you have given us our identity, and your word is truth, and we stand it on it. And we thank you for it. God, you created us, God. You made us, God, in your image and likeness, God. And God, you said we are the apple of your eye, God, and you made us a little lower than the angels, God. And God, we receive every promise that you have for us right now, God. Not only in eternity, but even in the present on this side of earth right now, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we speaking, God, for that child who may have been lost, God. We interceding for the child who may be out on drugs, God, who may feel lost, God, who may feel that there is no hope. God, we speaking, God, that you reach that child right now, in the name of Jesus, that runaway child. Give them their mind back, God. We speaking their mind being left, but your mind going into them, God, and give them that desire to do the right thing, God. We speak, God, that you rescue them before it's too late, God. Give them a repentant heart right now, God, in the name of Jesus. God, we speak, God, for those who don't know you in a part of their sins, God. Help them to understand who you are, God. Allow them a chance, God, to accept you as Jesus, as Lord and Savior in their life right now, God. Lord, what you've done on the cross, God, is for us, God, and we receive it right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for giving us our mind, God, giving us your mind, God. God, we thank you, Lord, for helping us and healing us, God, mentally, physically, emotionally, psychologically, God. And God, we speak, God, that you heal every wound, every scar tissue right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for the testimony that's coming from this right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for everything you've done, everything you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, amen. I want to thank each and everyone who tuned in and listened and supported this program. Feel free to contact me on Facebook. I'm Brother Prater. You can read my daily devotions, my videos, and also you can subscribe to my YouTube channel, which is also on YouTube. You can go to my website, www.brotherprater.org. You can see my daily devotion, my upcoming events, and personal appearances. Also, you can go to the store section on my website where you can purchase my book, A Few Good Men, A Path to Godly Fatherhood. A Few Good Men was written to applaud the fathers who are taking care of their responsibilities, to educate and challenge those who are not, and also to give single women a way to identify the qualities of a potential future husband and or father to present and future children. I want to thank each and every one who tuned in to the show. God bless you and good night. Thank you for listening to Reconnect My Heart. Good night.